Our dear Heavenly Father, we worship you, we adore you, we give you honor, we give you adoration. Heavenly Father, as we go into this time in the Word, Lord, I ask for mercy. Nor is it of him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. Lord, mercy for me to be able to minister effectively. Lord, even under the covenant of the fathers of the house, Lord, even as an oracle of God, that the words I speak, Lord, please cause them to be words of spirit and words of life, going forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and in the love of the Holy Spirit, to do an internal, eternal work in all of our hearts and in all of our lives, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I dock under the covenant of my fathers, pastor and mommy, Lord, even that I'll be able to minister, Lord, even drawing from the grace that's upon their life, so that I'll minister as though they were here themselves doing it, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, as I minister, I, Lord, remove every confidence that I have alone in my preparation. I place all of my confidence, Father, in your mercy, in your grace, to cause me, Lord, even to be effective, that all of us, Lord, will be blessed through all that we hear, that we'll be able to be doers of the things that we hear, not hearers only, in Jesus' name. Help me to redeem the time, to say nothing unnecessary. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. The word I believe the Lord has put in my heart this evening to share is God's thoughts, the prosperity of our souls. God's thoughts, the prosperity of our souls. It's a spin-off, like everything I know, from Pastor and Mommy. Pastor shared, I think last month, you know, capturing God's thoughts, you know, and that, you know, triggered this off. And some things Mommy shared when we were in Ondo, and the prosperity of our souls is not money. Prosperity of our souls is us becoming, you know, like Christ. Praise the Lord. In Jebu. You know, the Ondo thing is my in Jebu. Sorry, we're there for the prayers. It used to be Ondo a long time ago. I don't know where that came from. In Jebu. Praise the Lord. You know, so God's thoughts, the prosperity of our souls. You know, just as a reminder or a foundation, we know that man is a spirit. He has a soul. You know, he lives in a body. Man is tripartite. And the soul is composed itself of the mind, the will, and the emotions. And you see that when God made man, he made him a living soul. The Bible says that he made man from the dust of the earth, and he breathed in him the breath of life. Let's quickly turn there. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. As we turn, remember that when God made man, he had a plan. He said, let us make man in our image and in, you know, he'll be in our image and in his likeness. So that was the plan that God had from the beginning. You know, he said, let us come together, the three persons of the Godhead, let us, Elohim, make man in our image, you know, in our likeness. Okay, so he says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, let's read together. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathe into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man became a living soul. Very vital. By that breath of life, by that connection, after man was made from the dust, there was a connection with God. That life that God breathed in him now became a connection that he walked and he lived through. And God put him in the garden to tend the garden, to watch over it, you know. And after some time, God said, it's not good for man to be alone. And God, you know, made him a helpmate, who was Eve, also made from the dust, and was using Adam's rib. And we see that man used to fellowship with God. The Bible says God would come in the cool of the evening. And they have a time of fellowship, and he was connected to God, you know, the life of God. That life of God flowed into him in such a great measure. The Bible says that, you know, the glory of God was about them. They didn't even know they were naked. It was unto the fall of man, when there was a separation, that it was now clear that, you know, the Bible says that, you know, all have seen and fallen short of the glory of God. At that point in time, when the light went off, so to speak, that glory went off, and it was clear, you know, that they were naked. They saw that they were naked, and they were ashamed. In fact, God had to come and say, who told you were naked? That wasn't how they were made. All the time they were initially made, that glory, amen, was a shield around them. That glory was a force field about them because of the connection that they had with God. But sin separated them. Sin became something that alienated them. They were separated from the life of God. So that glory wasn't there. And we see the consequence of that life not being there. All of a sudden, man who was not meant to die We start seeing, you know, if you look at the genealogies, okay, from 900 years, 900 something years, as time went on, the lifespan in man's physical body, the ability for him to physically exist, diminished. Also, the ability of the life of God to enlighten man's soul diminished progressively over time. Man was able to name the animals, have, you know, wisdom of how to tend the garden and all those things. All of a sudden, man became retrogressive. In fact, his mind became depraved at a particular time because of that enlightenment and alienation from the life of God. You know, the Bible describes it well in the book of Romans. Let's turn there. Romans chapter 1, it says, you know, after that fall, the life produced darkened minds. Romans chapter 1, sorry, verse 21. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Okay. Because that when they knew God, they glorified not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. That heart is their soul. It became darkened. Okay, Pastor was saying just now, you know, how it's even so much worse as we're looking in these days. You know, the level of, you know, depravity, level of perversion, you know, everything is like, you know, like Pastor said, what you used to see once every 10 years is now common day-to-day occurrence. Okay, let's look at another scripture that shows this alienation quite well. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. Okay, let's read together. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, from the life of God, from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Okay, so they were alienated from the life of God. It's very important because we're going to see how are we going to try and get back what was lost. So it's like a reversal of whatever happened. The sin separation caused life, so we find a way to get life back to man. You know, and we see this, you know, even in after the fall of man, the Bible says that after he had the eating of the knowledge of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, they became like God. God himself attested to that. He says they are eating this thing, they are now like us, they know good and evil. That's where Satan, you know, had deceived the woman. Satan didn't deceive Adam. And by the way, Adam was there as well. You know, there's some folklore, you know, that says, you know, he wasn't there, he was on the farm, and then, no. He was there. Genesis 3:5, he said, she gave to her husband who was with her. He shirked his responsibility in not telling her, this is the commandment that I received. What Satan is telling you is not the correct thing. Don't do this. Okay? And then even after she did it, she should have sided with her. You know, I think it was a pastor shared this, and Brother Copeland said, you know, the glory went off her. And he thought, I can't leave her alone, I must follow her. Big mistake. He should have stayed with God. And gotten together with God, how are we going to reverse this process? How are we going to get her restored back by the life of God to get that flow back in? So we see that the life of God is key, you know, to them. Okay, let's put that scripture up. Okay, we'll just keep on going so we don't take too much time. So we see that that separation from God produced darkness. That separation from God produced behavior that was unwanting and so on and so forth. Man was no longer thinking along the way God, you know, thinks, was no longer looking for the things, the purpose for which was created. Man deviated so much. At one stage, God said, I repent that I've made man. That's a heavy word. Say, I repent that I've made man. Okay? And I was saying this earlier on, I lost continually evil. You know, I lost my thing of thought. When I was talking about the Garden of Eden, you know, after they ate the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, God said, man was driven out of the garden. And a cherubim, an angel, was put to block the way to the tree of life. Remember, Pastor Chide recently, two trees in the middle of the garden. God did it deliberately. They were meant to go for the tree of life. That, God has said, eat of every tree. The only one you shouldn't eat of is the one of the knowledge of good and evil. And it is, by the way, beside the tree of life. Really, just you would have seen the tree of life, it must be one that, you know, we should eat. But that sin of omission led to them falling and being separated, you know, from God. Praise the Lord. So we see in Isaiah 55, we'll look at that in more detail later, but that's where the Isaiah 55:7 says, you know, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. You know, as the water comes from heaven, you know, sprinkles the ground, causes things to bud. So the word that goes out of my mouth, you know, will not be void. It will be productive. It will bring forth things. But the point I want to bring out now, we'll come to you later, is that God himself declares at that stage, you know, man's ways, man's thoughts are alienated from him. It's not the way, you know, God is thinking, and we need to have that knowledge. We also see that, like we said, there's so much darkness nowadays. It's affecting, you know, the nations. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 25, verse 7. Isaiah 25, verse 7. There's a veil. There's a covering now that is, you know, that veil is as a result of the sin in the air. Satan has caused such a tremendous increase, both by population increase, more sinful men speaking words of death. So that veil is being powered, so to speak, okay, by sin coming out from the things that men say, the things that men do. That's why there's a lot of perversion going on right now. It's a coordinated plan by Satan. He's powering that veil. So much so that he wants people to all over the world. If you are in Nigeria and say you don't agree about sexuality, homosexuality, he wants pressure put on your government. He wants you to change your mind. He wants you to make it legal. You know, even when, but there, no, where, look, nobody here is crying for it. You just do it. What are they trying to do? They're increasing that sin level. Increasing, you know, particularly the really, you know, no sin is good. But, you know, there are some sins that are like, if Satan puts that into motion, he has really upped the ante. But God is greater in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God is greater in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. That veil is going to be torn in Jesus' name. So let's look at the scripture. Maybe let's back up verse 5. 6, sorry. And in this mountain, let's read together, shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. Verse 7, and he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. Amen. That veil is spread over all nations. But thank God, God is raising up people on the mountain. Mount Zion. Hallelujah. Amen. Who will deal with the problem of sin? Who will deal with the problem of death in the air that Satan has put in such a thick way that men cannot see anymore? What is obviously bad, they can't see. What is, you know, how can that be right? How can that be correct? Being justified and being pushed forward. You know, like it says in the book of Romans as well. So we see that that level of sin is being powered onto increasing levels with population increase and with the level of perversion and things that are going on the earth. But we say God has an answer in Mount Zion in Jesus' name. So now we want to look at the thoughts of God. Okay, God's thoughts or any thoughts, you know, when you utter the thought out as a word, you are actually putting that power of that thought into the air. You know, Bible says, let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 4, talking about the Holy Ghost. Okay, he gave them utterance. Okay, as the Spirit of God gave, they spoke as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. You know, and so we see that they were able to speak the words that were the thoughts of God, you know, as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. So what they were speaking was actually God's thoughts. And they were putting the words of God and the God's teachings of God into the air. Amen. And this is where, you know, like I said, it's pastor's message, you know, that, you know, drew this thing to my attention, that after that power goes in the air from the thoughts of God as the words of God, it needs to be captured. Amen. It needs to be captured. It's the capturing of God's thoughts that have come out as words that is going to change the soul. Amen. Going a bit ahead of myself. It's what, you know, the backbone of the message that is when we capture more and more of those thoughts that our minds get renewed. Amen. That alienation, that darkness that has progressively getting worse is now reversed. The more we put God's thoughts in and capture more of God's thoughts in, the more light that comes in. Amen. The less darkness there is there. The more we can now fulfill, you know, what God planned for man when he had that connection in the garden. When he wanted to make man in his image and in his likeness. So it's going to be a progressive receiving of these God's thoughts into our minds, into our wills, emotions, our soul. We'll come into them in detail in a few minutes' time. That is going to change us. Words are also a bridge. bridge between God in the spirit realm and man in the physical. We say it on Tuesdays when we teach. Also between man in the physical and God in the spirit realm. It's the avenue by which there's that communication. For God, his words are creative. They are powerful. You know, God said, let there be light. God said, you know, you go through Genesis, God said, all the effects of what we see in creation was because God said. Amen? So, and he's made us in his image and his likeness. So we also, if we say the right things, we will create. Absolutely. Amen? We believe, yes. The key there is believing. We must do it in faith. Faith is the currency in operating with God. So when we speak in faith, what God says, then the effect of what God wants becomes a reality in our experience. Looking at the Holy Spirit as well, giving us the thoughts of God when we speak in tongues, the Bible says, you know, that, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in the Amplified, please. The Amplified explains it better, you know. So we're saying that the Holy Spirit, when we speak in tongues, he speaks from God. And what we want to look at is that he says that it's the spirit of a man that knows what is in the man. It also is the spirit of God that can comprehend, you know, what is in God. So when the Holy Spirit is speaking, he's giving us the thoughts of God. Just amplifying that with this scripture now. No, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 in Amplified. Okay. For what person perceives, knows, and understands what passes through a man's thoughts, except the man's own spirit within him? Just so, no one discerns, comes to know, and comprehend the thoughts of God, except the Spirit of God. No one comes to know, comprehend the thoughts of God, except the Spirit of God. Okay, just putting more scriptures to that, the Spirit of God comprehends. He knows the thoughts of God. Okay, and God has given us access to the Spirit of God. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a great gift. It's the greatest gift. It's the greatest gift, because without the Holy Spirit, we won't be able to get to where God wants us to get. It's the Holy Spirit being able to, you know, pray in tongues that makes all the changes. Being able to pray in tongues that gives us understanding of the Word. Okay, the next thing we want to look at is how, you know, and why is that necessary? Because even when God has given us his word in the letter, we know that the letter heals, but the Spirit gives life. It's only with the Holy Spirit's help that we can know what is the life or what is the spirit of the letter. Amen? What was God's thoughts when he was writing the word? Amen? God tells us that clearly. So we know that there are things that we see in the letter of the word that is not as it appears to be. There is a thought in the background of God's mind, and only the Holy Spirit can give us that thought, can enlighten our darkness in that area. So that's why it's important that we have that walk with the person of the Holy Spirit. Why also do we need to capture the thoughts that the Holy Spirit is giving us? Because the Bible says the end of our faith, the whole purpose, the whole ball game, is the salvation of our souls. The salvation of our souls. The saved soul is one where the will is submitted to the will of God. You know, the emotions are tempered by the fruit of the Spirit. The mind is enlightened, okay, by the life of God. Remember we said man is a spirit. He has a soul, he lives in a body. The soul is made of the mind, the will, and the emotions. The will is the chief. The will is the chief. It determines what happens at every other level. Amen. But thank God, God has made a way available for us to deal with the will. Amen? God has made a way of escape for us to deal with the will. It's the will of man that says, I want to do my own thing. I want to be independent. Let us do it. That's what Satan used when he told the woman, has God told you this? You don't have to do God. God has told you this for whatever reason. You know, that's him deceiving her. God didn't say that. And then, let me do it my own way. That independent streak. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. I want to do it my own way. God will have mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. Doing it the way of God is vital. That's the way of humility, okay, which we're going to see. Also, the way back to the tree of life, which I said an angel was put in the way so that man would not go there. God made that access back available through the new birth. Okay. Jesus is the way. Amen. So the way that was blocked in Genesis has now been opened through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That way of Jesus is the way of life. Okay, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So through Jesus, we get back into the place, you know, where God wants us to be. So we're able to eat of that tree of life. Amen. Now, progressively, the life of God, okay, in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, I have life. It's not a misnomer. It's vital. In Jesus' name, I have life. Father, give life to me, you know, because there was a time, it was being, you know, derided in this church. You know, it is, in Jesus' name, I have life. In Jesus' name, I have life. It's vital. You can't have too much life.
Amen.
You can't have too much life.
Amen.
There's so much death in the air. There's so much death in our souls. There's so much death in our bodies. We haven't even started scratching yet, but God is opening our eyes to see in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. That's the message to this evening, how God is going to help us to see the technology, how to get into that place where we are now using an abundance of the life of God. Amen. To deal with this abounding iniquity because of grace that is also abounding. Amen. So we see that God's finally, why are we aiming for this? What we said earlier on in Genesis, God had a plan. Let us make man in our image and his likeness. That plan hasn't stopped. That plan, you know, God doesn't, you know, God plays until he wins. God doesn't, you know, okay, Satan has done this. Okay, I give up. God doesn't quit. It's how many thousand years ago. God is still playing the game. I am going to make man in my image and in our likeness. Amen.
Amen.
There's going to be a man where sozo is in existence. Saved in spirit, saved in his soul, and saved in his body. Amen. A man that will be like God. Not God. Thank God for the intro pastor gave. Forget the one that will be God. But like God. Okay. And having his thoughts. So that the way you answer, the way you do, you know, Pastor said, you know, what applied to Jesus when he said, you know, have you seen me? You've seen the Father. Philip, how come are you asking? Show me the Father. You've seen me. You've seen the Father. God will get us there in Jesus' name. That's what God wants to do. By the renewing of our minds, by the prosperity of our souls, where our wills are now in the right place, where our emotions are fully tempered, where our minds are fully enlightened, oh, the wisdom of God will be seen. The manifold wisdom, sir. The pastor's not about that will be demonstrated to principalities and powers so that everybody will see that of a truth God is real, and through that men will now decamp. Let us go to the mountain of the Lord, let us go, let him show his way. Isaiah 2, you know, Isaiah 4, and there'll be a flow, you know, into the mountain, you know, of God, into God's house. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we see why God wants us to have these thoughts that comes from praying in tongues. Now we see also, let's look at Paul. 1 Corinthians 14. So we're trying to get the mind of God. And we're looking at how is the Holy Spirit praying in tongues that is one of the avenues, okay, of getting there. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 13. Talking about Paul. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Sorry. I've got the wrong one. 18. Sorry. Yes. 18. My 3 and my 8 must have gone wrong. I thank my God. This is Paul speaking. Okay, to those in Corinth. Remember the Corinthian church? Everybody will babble. They'll be preaching. This one will stand up. To show that. Mugbomuni tongues, man. Reba Koshiria. The one isn't in love, but it was just for, you know, show off and everything, you know, one thing. And Paul said, look, behave yourselves. Do this properly. Then he says, he makes a statement. Who knows Paul doesn't lie? Who knows the Bible not stamp it as an exaggeration? Paul says, I thank my God. Let's say together. I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than ye all. And Corinth wasn't a small town. Corinth was one of the big cosmopolitan cities of those days. It was, you know, Bible records, when you look at some Bible history, it was a mega church. That's why a lot of, you know, rubbish and nonsense sometimes went on. A big gathering of many people, this one doing their own, this one doing their own, you know. And many of them, at that time, we found that, you know, like all the tongues were saying wasn't in love, wasn't for edifying, okay. But it says, you know, I speak in tongues more than you all. And we know that Paul wrote about 2/3 of the New Testament. Where did that revelation come from? Tongues. Having the mind. The life of God flowing in his mind. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So those are areas that gave, you know, Paul the revelation, you know, that he had. Praise the Lord. So that he was able to come to a place where he understood the word of God. So Paul will now take something from the Old Testament and bring it into the New Testament. You know, see the spirit of the word behind, you know, what God wanted and be able to apply it. And, you know, we also walk in that in Jesus' name. We also see, we can go back and back up to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Chapter 2, we looked at it briefly before. Again from verse 7, or let's start from verse 6 and look at a couple of verses. 1 Corinthians 2. Okay. Talking about tongues. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our... There is a wisdom that is from speaking in tongues that brings out mystery that God has ordained for our glory. If we're going to get to Christ in us, the hope of glory, that wisdom must come forth. That mystery that we speak must come forth. Let's go to chapter 14, verse 2. We're going to link up the mystery that we speak when we pray in tongues. But the... No. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. We saw mysteries also in chapter 2. So we're linking now the mysteries we're speaking when we speak in tongues that gives us wisdom, that is going to make us manifest the glory of God. It's giving us that. Is albeit in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. Praise the Lord. So we see that to get to the place where our minds are renewed, where we have the wisdom of God, where we have the mind of Christ, it's vital that, you know, we are tapping into this wisdom that comes by speaking in tongues. Finally, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Just quickly finishing that. Okay. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Okay? It's all a continuous discourse. I've skipped some verses. From that 7 downwards, it says by speaking in mysteries, by speaking in tongues, we're going to end up the mind of Christ. Amen? Remember, he was ordained for our glory. The mind of Christ. What's the mystery that Paul speaks about in Colossians 1:27? A mystery that was not before known in the world. Christ in you. The hope of... So to get that glory is in tongues. It's the mysteries that God is going to reveal to us. He's going to renew our minds. The Bible talks about the renewing, you know, of our mind. It's that connection that is going to bring that renewal. Through Christ Jesus praying in tongues, the life is going to start flowing. The light of life will start flowing. It will start having different effects. It will have an effect on our wills. It will have an effect on our minds. It will have effect on our emotions. Praise the Lord. Amen. So how are we going to do this? By praying. Amen. First of all, an attitude of humility. With the lowly is wisdom. Let's turn there. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2, in the NIV preferably. I think that's where the word Lord is used. Remember, Jesus said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. So you want to get the mind of Christ, you have to be meek and lowly in heart. No independence, no pride, no shortcut. All the prayer we're going to talk about after will not work if the humility is not there. In fact, it's the humility that attracts all the other things. It'll just be, you know, sounding cymbals and other things. When pride comes, Proverbs 11 verse 2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. With humility comes wisdom. So you see, the first thing is making sure there's humility. To get the tongues, all the things, because we can see in the Corinthian church, many people are blowing tongues. They weren't getting any revelation. It was just a sounding, a big noise, like I said, just to show off, not having an effect. To have the effect, that humility must be in place. Amen? And we see the vital role of this humility. You know, this came to me as I was preparing. Pastor's been telling us about our love prayers, you know, and the instruction that he's giving. Not so that we stay on minimum, but it's vital to start that as a precursor. You know, the first prayers we pray, you know, I choose to fear God. I humble myself. I submit to do the will of God, even when I don't feel like it. Okay? So that we'll be able to get to that place. As we pray that every day, we're releasing, you know, we pray in tongues, sorry, after we say those prayers. When we pray in tongues, you know, the understanding I have is that the life of God is moving, you know, that life from our spirit man into our souls, particularly the will. You know, into our wills in particular. So that area, you know, each prayer, I see them now as, you know, quite precise. I got to, you know, focus. You know, Pastor shared this about Prophet Copeland saying some time ago, you know, just like Jesus used his tools, like a carpenter uses his tools with precision, is the way the word of God is also used. You know, so you know, say the focus. This time we're praying is the will that this first prayer is dealing with. When we do that first prayer, you know, so when we're praying in tongues, we need to see our will's been affected, that I choose to fear God. There's an empowering that's going on into your will. The Bible says in the day of his power, his people will be willing. So let's put the power into our wills, consciously and deliberately by faith. Amen. Consciously and deliberately by faith. Amen. So we need to exercise faith. So because it's possible to say, let's pray that prayer, and we're just praying in tongues, something may happen because God is merciful. But I think God is now turning towards efficiency. Let each thing be precise and let it be able to hit at what we want it to hit about. So we see that God is working on our wills. God gave me this analogy, Bezalel. Where they were making the tabernacle, you know, Papa Ralph shared it. You know, God didn't give me, sorry. You know, Papa Ralph shared it, and I think pastors amplified it. But he came back to me, you know, about the will, you know, how when they were trying to make the vessels and things like that, when it was things that were made of wood, he says, you know, they would get gold, melt it, and painstakingly hit it in, tap it in, beat it in, until gold now got ingrained in the wood. After some time, you didn't see the wood anymore. What you saw was the gold. The wood is a type of man. The nature of our soul as it is right now. The life of God is gold. Gold is divine. Every morning when we pray, and start with this prayer, Pastor has said, let's take it to the instruction. We are hitting your will. Putting a bit of gold into your will. Progressively, more gold, more divine nature, more divine nature, more divine nature. Don't give up. Don't give up. If just man will fall 7 times, don't give up. Stay with God. His word will come to pass. Amen. His word will come to pass. Word of encouragement. Keep on going at it. If you don't stop, God will not stop. Amen. If we don't stop, God will not stop. Keep on going at it. See that more divine nature has been put in. Then be more efficient. Pray the tongues, not just blah, 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 with, you know, more intense. Thank you, Prof. You know, more Prof, more intense, more intensity, more, you know, so that the thing is really, you know, going in when you're praying. Praise the Lord. It's after we pray that we have that humility that we go to the next prayer, which is for light. Amen. When we now say, Father, you know, enlighten my mind. Give light, you know. The light now brings knowledge. But there's a trap there. Not it well. Remember, the Bible says, knowledge puffeth up. So the more light we receive, there's a tendency where our minds have not been fully renewed and we can't jump the steps, you know, to now start thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought. A bit of revelation comes, you think, maybe I know more than pastor, or maybe I don't need this. Amen. God have mercy on me. God have mercy on us. Okay? Maybe I just understand this, and maybe they don't really understand that. You know, Satan slips all those things there. You know, pastor sent out the message today. You know, Satan's counter attack. Be ready for it. Okay? So, a bit of knowledge comes in. He's going to try and make you puffed up with that knowledge. So, the first thing we said is vital. The humility. So keep on knocking the humility in. Keep on knocking the humility in and keep the balance in. You know, the third one we pray is for love. Okay? That's the one that gives you, you know, what's my motive for what I'm about to do? The motive, why am I doing this? If it doesn't feel the love, you know, I love God with my heart, will, mind, emotions, and strength. I love my brethren as Christ comes to them. Again, we're using the power of God. We're praying in tongues after that prayer. We're pushing out the love, the very love of God into our minds. I love God with all my mind, your mind, your will, again, your emotions. So you're feeling like this about it, but don't let your emotions dominate you. Put life into that thing. Love like God would love. That's the commandment that Jesus gave, that we should love as he loved. You know, put strength in your mind, will, emotions, and strength. Physical times, it takes strength. I'll see mommy doing things, and it's just, how does she get the energy? But I said, that's the level of love work, whereby the power to love is enough to strengthen the physical body. So you think, oh yeah, I could tell everybody by now. Tiny what to fellow Kinesi. You know, I mean, no, it's the correct thing to do. There's, you know, mommy will go. She, you know, there's a strength to love. Amen. Physical strength. There's a will to do the right thing. There is the mind to see what is the right thing to do. And then, you know, to do with our brethren as well. Praise the Lord. So we see that that's important. Also, in terms of the effect of the life of God, there's travail. Amen. We pray in tongues is good. But the Bible talks about travail. So we're looking at efficiency. Let's look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. Remember Christ in us, the hope of glory. Remember mysteries and tongues to bring us to glory that God has ordained for us. Amen. So, for Christ to be formed in us, travail. Travail is exerting ourselves. Great volumes of the life of God, okay, that we draw on, being pushed out to again affect our minds, our wills, our emotions in our soul, to affect our bodies, to affect our circumstances, to affect our nation. Amen. The more of that is coming out of us. And that's what God is looking at now. God is saying, if people who are called by my name will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, and pray, then I will hear from heaven. Amen. I'm getting a bit ahead of myself, but I want to quickly get to that level so that we're going to see how the effect goes beyond just what we're praying for ourselves. It starts affecting our circumstances. Yeah, it starts affecting the nation as well. Now, we need to pray with efficiency. Like I said, there's a large part of what God is calling our attention is to be more efficient. And God's teaching, how can we be efficient? Pastor teaches us on Tuesdays and talks about it all the time. It's about united praying in the Spirit. The Bible says one will put 1,000 to flight. Two will put 10,000. 300,000. 4 million, and so on. There's an exponential increase. He uses a great word. He says astronomically larger than what we generate when we're on our own. Now, it's potentially available, but if we're not exercising faith in it, then we're not tapping into it. It's one thing for something to be potential. It's another thing for it to be vital. If it's not believed when we are praying, if it's not consciously thought about and, our minds working on it as we're praying, then we're not utilizing as much as what God has available for us. Amen? So that is an important area. So all the things we say now, you want the soul to change? You want to be more humble? Imagine the difference between using what you alone can generate and what is generated when you pray united in the Spirit. First of all, under covering. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4, Paul telling them that when my Spirit is there with your Spirit and the power of God. So under covering. Pastor Clay shared the message beautifully. Not just being under covering anyhow. Fully aligned. He used that beautiful analogy. I haven't forgotten. If the thing is meant to come through, if you are tangential, yes, you are in the house, but you have not aligned yourself 100%, then you are letting some of the, the vectors, you go cosine theta or something. You've blunted, how much was going that way by just going and deviating, to that side. Okay, so it's important that we are under covering, well and fully aligned. Amen. Unity. There the Lord commands the blessings. United in the Spirit. We want to generate that abundant power when we pray. There's got to be unity. Love, mercy, forgiveness. Okay? These are things that we need to be exercised where we're loving our brethren, mercy, asking for mercy for people, forgiving people. There'll be times when things go on, let's be quick to forgive. So that flow can go on. There'll be blocks if we don't forgive. There'll be blocks if we're not asking mercy. There'll be blocks if we're not asking life when we see our brother sin. That will hinder the overall power that we can tap into. Praise the Lord. So the vital things, covering, alignment, unity, and faith. Faith at all levels. It seems like a simple one, faith, but God says every time you do it absent-mindedly, you've lost the opportunity of maximizing. So concentrate, pray to your faith, pray with intensity, like you said, so that you, amen. Okay? The more intense you're doing it, the more you are sure that you believe in God. Pastor says that, it's been sticking in my head. He says, when you believe that amount of power is available, then you exert yourself. You're believing, and God, it's not the noise, it's not the sound, it's not none of those things. It's God seeing and say, oh, I'm going to amplify that because this person is exactly, and it's a lie of the devil. There's more power on our side than the devil's side. Amen. Amen? There's more power on our side than the devil's side. Is it true that it's coming more and more, many times, even in the nation, I'll conclude with that, in a few minutes' time. Things we look at as if it's like this, things in our individual lives, in our personal lives, and it's the devil. It's part of his villain, his blindness. There's more power in God than Satan can ever use against you in Jesus' name. There's more power in the blood of Jesus than any sin. There's more power in God's ability to do good than politicians can do bad. Amen. Amen. No matter how bad they do. There's power in God to ascend and fulfill his own will and bring his plan to pass. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. It's just for us to walk, get our minds renewed, line up with God, release that greater power. Amen. Release that greater power so that the effect of the nation starts showing. Things start turning around, you know. And it's one of the encouragement that God gave me as I start to, you know, round up. We've seen the efficiency of prayer with abundant life, the effect of it in our individual lives. The more you use it, then the quicker we're going to grow. The quicker our wills become where it's meant to be. The quicker our emotions will be, you know, tempered by the fruit of the Spirit. The quicker our minds, you know, receive that enlightenment. So God was showing me, I went back to, let's turn there now, Isaiah 55, as we close. I just quoted it in verse 7. But let's start from verse 1. Sorry, am I going too fast? Isaiah 55, verse 1. Ho! Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Amen? Let me quickly just stop. Ho! Come and get water that is priceless. What does that remind us of? John 7. The great day of the feast. He cried out loud, if anybody thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth, faith again, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. And this is referring to the Spirit. The Spirit has not yet been given. Who have we been saying is going to give us the Holy Spirit? The wisdom, the power, bring it by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's go on further down. We see I am verse 2. Still on Isaiah. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. The New King James says in abundance. This is the fatness God was talking about, the abundant life in the promised land. Oh, great. He's got it. Let your soul delight itself in abundance. It's through that abundant life. It's critical. It's through that abundance life that abundant light will come. That the things that are going to change our soul. Let your soul delight itself, you know, by being in abundance. Next verse. Verse 3. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Life will come back there. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Let's jump to verse 6 to save time. It's taking a bit longer than I thought. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Verse 7, what we started earlier on. Let the wicked forsake his way. Remember, the wicked is not the sinner. It's the person who is not following instruction. Lord have mercy. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts, let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him and our God, for he will, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon by having mercy. Abundant mercy, abundant pardon. So we need to get mercy to be out in an abundance. Pastor says every time we pray, that united with the Spirit, God is using our prayers. Not only for what we are praying for at that time, for things that he's done sovereignly in past. We're praying the prayer debt. Okay, things he wants to do in the future. He's tapping from that same prayer. Okay, I'm just going back to United Praying in the Spirit. Why it's important? Because it goes. Because sometimes you think, all this volume, if it's me time, seems to part 10 by 10 by 10, what is all this power for? There's so much to do. The prayer debt is one. God is not, I say it reverentially, anonic basic, but he's done some things sovereignly. But he's done it in faith that I'm going to have a group of people, some of my children. Can you imagine a father who is indebted, so to speak? Okay, remember I said reverentially about God. But the children are looking for, we've got to sort out daddy's debt. We've got to make sure we clear this thing. We've got to, you know, that's the kind of attitude that God wants. Ah, God has been too good. There is this in the background, and the blessing was also for us. So the more the reason, all that sovereignty was done. You know, Jesus gave his life for the world. We are going to give our life now. You know, for the sins. Jesus gave his life for the sins. We're going to give our life for God to save the world. Amen. Okay, so verse 7, verse 8. So God's thought, my thoughts are not your thoughts. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, said the Lord. But that can change. That should change. That will change in Jesus' name. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. But that can change. And that will change. Verse 10. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth, and bud, that he may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Okay, to save time, let's go to the right to the end. I can't remember what verse he ends with, of 55. Oh, am I almost there? Because I didn't think it should take this long. Okay, so the effect of getting God's thoughts. Remember, that's how it started. Come and drink water. Water you don't have to pay any price for. Ends with this. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Amen. Quickly, let's go to John chapter 7, verse 37 and 38. This is where the New Testament of type of what came out. You know, he says, cry, come and get water. This is Jesus speaking. In that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Amen. What you believe, how would the scripture say? Pastors taught us, when we pray, have that background, believe in his faith. Jesus Christ is praying in conjunction with the Holy Spirit through us as we pray to the Father. Need to have that background. Again, is another instruction that if we're not exercising consciously and deliberately, we are operating at suboptimal level. Amen? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So Pastor says, you know, see that picture all the time, that's what is going on, you know, as we pray. Okay, so let's go to after Isaiah 55. It talks about the myrtle tree. Amen. Thank you, sir. You know how God was changing things from being like in a wilderness state to now being fruitful. And my mind just went. Mommy was sharing something, you know, on Sunday. Zechariah. Let's turn there. Zechariah chapter 1. Remember the myrtle tree. I'll talk about it very soon. Zechariah chapter 1. I think it's start from verse 6. Verse 7, please. Okay. I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees. What changed in Isaiah 55? The thorns became, you know, the briars became, cypress trees, and the thorns became myrtle trees. You know, and the connection goes to be, let's do to the end. He stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him there were red horses speckled and white. Verse 9. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. Verse 10. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are they whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro the whole earth. Verse 11. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sits still and is at rest. Amen. I asked God, you know, that myrtle tree, what is it? It's a type of plant, evergreen. Okay, the two trees that change in Isaiah 55, I wasn't able to break down properly. The cypress and the myrtle trees that come to being are evergreen trees. There's always life, they're always green. Okay, I'll read what I brought up from the dictionary about the myrtle tree. Any plant of the genus Myrtus, especially M. communis, so, having evergreen leaves, fragrant white flowers, aromatic berries, anciently held sacred to Venus. We're not interested in that, but I believe God uses to draw attention. Used as an emblem of love. Okay, the beauty of those trees, an emblem of love in Greek mythology, onto Venus and everything, but carried on into the Old Testament time. Okay, so you saw that, you say, that is love. Not Venus type of love, but the love of God. Amen? So the people who are by the trees, the people who are riding, the people who have got love formed in their mind, whose minds have been renewed, whose have now become conformed to the image, that love is working in them. God gives them authority. They now walk through and through the whole earth. Amen. directing things. Say, Lord, yes, they're still. Authority. Say, stop this. Stop that. Trump, you're not going anywhere. The static is control. They are not going to do this. Yeah. Mommy will watch everything. Yeah. You know, she probably did all night. Sometimes she was in England. You know, God have mercy on me. I think I watched Larry Clinton's zone. You know, but you don't have everything. So people who are conformed to the image of Christ, multitudes of love, people that love, they are angels, ministers. Amen. Pastor, brother, these are fathers. Okay? They've been given authority to walk through and through. But guess what? After this, they've been going around the earth. Mommy now brings out what, you know, the word God gave her. They're doing things in the earth and it's happening. But they're now trying to say, what about Jerusalem? What about Nigeria? We have seen the answer. We see Obama was coming, he will come in. We say this will not happen, it will not happen. But Nigeria, is it that God, have you forgotten? Verse 12. Then the angel of God answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long will thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? Abundant what were we believing God to release? Abundant mercy. So they're asking for mercy. That's what mommy brought out on Sunday, that God is going to show mercy upon Jerusalem. Just God showed our mercy, and we should have faith, trust God. God is going to show mercy on Nigeria. No matter what we're seeing, he's giving us the opportunity and the examples of times past. I've done other things. Just relax. I'm working it out. Thank God for fathers. You know, some of us are still getting agitated. We want God to come down and deal with all these funny people. You know, God helped us in Ijebu. You know, mommy had to say, cool your temper. You know, it's not like that. You know, so that there will not be massacre. You know, they are all over the place. You know, if it starts happening, it will go beyond where you think it's going to go. Yes, you don't know many things. So God in his wisdom says, don't worry, I will deal with it bit by bit. You know, the thieves, the looters, and the sharers, God is going to deal with them. Yeah. Have you heard that one? Executives. Executives. The three arms of government. Legislators. Judiciaries. Three arms of government. Okay? To thief. Okay? The ones who don't have access to funds, they share the ones that have been stolen and have been looted. Judiciaries. But guess what? We have the Lord's right arm. Amen? Greater than all those arms of government. The servant of the Lord in Zechariah, the branch.
Amen.
Greater than any branch or arm of government.
Amen.
That branch is coming to the fore through us as Amen. Our soul prospers, as Amen. Our minds get renewed, then we take our place. Praise Amen. The Lord. Let's see verse 13. And the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words Hallelujah. And comfortable words. It will be well with Nigeria.
Amen.
It will be well with Nigeria.
Amen.
God is working his purpose out.
Amen.
Be patient. One of the carpenters. The vital carpenter to keep. Remember we saw that later on. He says, who are these? These are the ones that have come to free. Okay, we don't have time to go through all of it, you know. But just remember, patience, staying the same. Consistent. Stay with your prayers. Stay with the instructions the fathers have given. Start working on your will more. Start working on your mind more. Start working on your emotions more. So that abundant life can start radiating from you more to affect the nation. So we see the promise that God has given. Verse 14, Verse 14. So God talked with me and answered good words. And so the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus said the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great jealousy. Next verse. And I'm very sore displeased with the heathen because they've afflicted the four, the affliction. Let's go on, please. Save the time. Therefore, said the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it. I have returned to Nigeria with mercies. I have returned to Nigeria with abundant mercies from abundant life. Amen. Said the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Let's see this promise and good words that God has given concerning Nigeria. Isaiah 32. Verse 16. talks about how the verse 15, maybe we should start, you know, until the Spirit, sorry, verse 15, 14 please. Because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left, the forts and towers shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. And the wilderness will be a fruitful field. And the fruitful field will be counted as a forest. Amen. See that being poured out. What do you say in John 7? Either I believe in me, as you said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. It's not a pouring out from heaven. It's a pouring out from our spirits. Amen. So we shouldn't be looking up to God. Yes, it's God, but is God going to do it? Pouring out of our spirits. Out of his bellies will flow rivers of living water from heaven through our spirits out. Praise the Lord. Let's go back and finish on to the Spirit. Then let's see how Nigeria transformed. Then, this is new Nigeria. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. Verse 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. Shall be peace. Amen. No more Boko Haram. Amen. No more secession. Amen. No more nothing. There will be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Amen. And my people,
amen,
shall dwell in a peaceable habitation,
amen,
and in sure dwellings,
amen,
and in quiet resting places.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. What does it require of us? To allow the life of God in abundant measure to flow out of our spirits. Bring abundant mercy. Bring all the changes that God has spoken about already. Comfortable words. Let's go back to these words. When it seems as if we're not, what's happening? Open it. This is what God has said. He's not a man to lie. He's not a man to repent. We said in Isaiah 55, the word that I've spoken, it will not return to me void. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. 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 Whenever you are thinking of Nigeria, remember this message. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Remember this message. God, until the Spirit is poured out upon us from on high, then the wilderness will become a good place.
Amen.
There will be judgment. There will be quietness. There will be peace.
Amen.
We will dwell in sure dwelling places.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's a present cutting edge truth word for Nigeria.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Lord has given to Pastor Larry a spin-off from what mommy... You see, the Holy Ghost is one. You see the Spirit of God. How he links things. It takes a... And I never saw that until Pastor Larry preached it now. You know, and that link between Zechariah and Isaiah. And it all comes from the myrtle tree. You know, men are trees. It says, the man who is like you shall be like a tree. It is those trees that will now bring refreshing to the nation. What then shall we say to these things? The answer of Nigeria is in you. May God help us understand the responsibility of that statement. The answer to the problem of Nigeria, the answer is inside us. The answer, mommy says on Sunday, the answer is not in Aso Rock. He's not in the three arms of government. Thank God for the arm of the Lord. That, I can never forget that. The arm of the Lord is stronger than the sharers, the looters, the sharers, and the thieves. Executives. Judiciaries. Oh my God. And the legislators. Come on, Shanuel.
What are you going to do?
No, I've preached and I've been preaching and teaching prophetic truth for going on to 30 years now. You know, the church gets excited when we preach. It is time to do. No amount of hype, no amount of highfalutin words, great prophetic utterance is going to change anything if the people of God do not play their part. I'm persuaded to believe that God has a people, it may not be many at first, a critical mass that will actualize. And Pastor Larry kept emphasizing that during this message, the importance of obeying instruction. God is not a fool. When he tells us to do something, he knows why he told us to do it. He knows the effect. You know, being precise. Not just do it. You know, there's a way you can also do it, just, you know, and then not doing things in faith. But you actually believe. To believe is to visualize, to see the reality of what is in the realm of the spirit, accept it as truth, and then act accordingly. It is that physical action that shows that you have seen what is in the spirit realm and you actually believe it. That God stamps it as faith. Then mercy and grace is released to cause the thing to be effective. And so, tonight, what I want us to, we're going to pray in a minute, you know, I just want us in our hearts to make up our minds that instead of being part of the problem, we're going to be part of the answer. Every prayerless Christian is a part of the problem. Every Christian that is not walking in love, in unity, in forgiveness, you know, you are part of the, you're actually compounding the problem. We've said it many times. It bears repetition. The real problem isn't the people in the world, it's the church. The world really is no match for us. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. They have nothing in their arsenal that can remotely compare to what we got. The question is how well, how efficiently, how optimally are we using what is ours, that full armor of God, all these weapons, the blood, the word, the spirit. How well are we using it? Satan is no match. And he knows that. He knows it better than you know it. And all he can do is to try and make sure you don't use your own optimally and deceive you and cajole you and run rings around you so that you're not using what you should be using, or you're not using what you have, you're not using it optimally as you should. And that is the tragedy of this generation, particularly what we're facing now. I want to end on a very strong note of hope. Martin Luther King Jr. said something the day before he was killed in Memphis in 1968. He said, I've been to the mountaintop. I've seen the promised land. Sadly, he said, and regrettably, he didn't get there with them. And he was right. That was how many years ago? Almost 50, 40 something years ago, 48 years today. If somebody had told them then that there would be a black man as president of the United States, especially after he had just been shot. That was one of the worst years for America, 1968. That was the year Martin Luther King Jr. was killed. Later on in the year, Robert F. Kennedy was killed. The Vietnam War, everything was, you know, yet the man of God had declared, and they went through some turmoil,
But ultimately, they came out. 40 years later, God fulfilled his word. Now today, the Lord God has given us revelation. It is well with Nigeria. He's spoken comfortable words. Do you understand? The Nigeria of our dreams is coming to birth. We are going to see it. We are going to enjoy it. It is a certainty. I want to echo the words of that great man. I've been to the mountaintop. It's going to happen. The issue is, you part, you will play in it as an individual. That's actually going to be the issue. For those of us who, by the grace and the mercy of God, have been privileged, and what a great honor and privilege for God to show us these things. What are you doing with it? What is going to be your own contribution to that great manifestation? The manifestation is imminent. I am fully persuaded. I echo the words of the great apostle. I am fully persuaded that the glory of God is about to appear. Like I said on Sunday and in recent times, it's going to come as a fire. That fire is going to do a purging and a separation inside the church. The issue is, what side of the fence will you be found on? And this has nothing to do with the church you are going to or who it's what you do in your heart. And you as an individual, you want to make sure you're on the right side of history. You're on the right side of what God is doing and what God is saying. Everything you have heard tonight, you've not heard anything new. These are things you've known already. The question is, to what degree are you practicing them? To what level of efficiency? Probably more importantly, to what degree in your heart are you ready to say, Lord, I will do these things? I may not be doing it perfectly now, but I certainly have made up my mind. I'm going to improve my level of efficiency. God is more interested in the honesty, the sincerity of our hearts than even in our present performance. And that's what he's saying to us. You've heard these things. Now go back to the drawing board. Everybody, go back into your own individual closets. Say, look at all these things. God, thank you. I'm going to do something about this. And then start actually, I like the word practice. Practice it. No, there's also like the wicked, the instruction come and they just put it behind your back. Instruction come, just put it behind your back. No. Go back and say, God, because I understand the implications of all the things you have said. And the great benefit it is going to be to our name. Not only just to myself. It's not just me, my family, my wife, my children. The entire nation. And ultimately the world. Got this terrible gross darkness that's covering the earth. People's minds are blinded. As he was talking, I just remembered he mentioned it tangentially, when mommy, we're in England and mommy will stay all night and she'll be praying as she's watching the convention and all that. We're not watching those things, just to be watching something. And watching to be doing something about it spiritually. Even this particular election that is currently going on in America, we have never in recent history, I don't think it has ever happened before, to see an election and a presidential nominee even some of the things that he says, they are unheard of. You would never, in your wildest dreams, you would never think such things could be said. It tells you the level to which the world has gone. The level of depravity. The degree of spiritual blindness. A nation that was founded on the very principles of the Bible. And you can't be wondering, my wife was telling me the other day, you know, how is it that this man is still getting so many people, even the polls, even though he's leading, but it's still a thing of amazement that he could even have so much. Tells you how much the minds of the people are blinded. Even Christians. It tells you we're dealing with something that is, this veil is real, man. Even those who are supposed to be enlightened, they can't see, you know, things that are obvious. We have a great responsibility. Let's stand to our feet. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. If there is one word that is ringing in my heart, it's the word instruction. My son, take fast hold of instruction, for she is thy life. Many of us do not take instruction seriously. We still do a lot of things the way we like, the way we feel, the way we think, instead of going. This is a day of instruction and precision. That's the kernel of this message that Pastor Larry has brought out, that will now make us myrtle trees, that will now bring salvation to our nation and to the ends of the earth as the seed of Abraham, removing this terrible veil that is covering the nations. It's a day of instruction. It's a day of precision. Tell God, I'm going to take instruction seriously. I'm going to practice instruction with greater diligence, by your mercy and grace, with greater efficiency. Not just haphazard. It's costing us. The whole thing is operating suboptimally. Thank God for the mercy and the grace of God that has still kept things together. Nothing has, you know, scattered. We can't afford it anymore. Teach me your way, O Lord, my God, and I will walk in your truth. Undivided heart, that I may fear. From God in heaven, but it's coming through us. We are seated together with Him in heavenly places, even though we are physically located on the earth. There is a connection between heaven and earth, and we are that conduit pipe. Whatever God is going to do in heaven, whatever God does in heaven has to come through us into the earth. We are very important. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. In us, we are the vital link between heaven and earth. Yes, God is able, but it has to be in us, through us. Through us. Understand your position, your strategic, important position in this whole program. Yes, God, but it's going to be through us. What we do or do not do affects the final outcome. Raise one hand. Touch your heart. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come tonight through your servant, reminding me that I am important in your plan for our nation, Nigeria, and for the earth at this time. Through the prosperity of my soul, I understand that I am a pipe, a connection between you and the earth, and my soul, especially my will, then my mind and my emotions, are a channel through which your life, your power, your glory will flow now into the earth to cause your kingdom to come. And your will to be done. Oh God, oh God, oh God, I understand this better than I've ever done before. I come to ask you afresh for mercy, for grace, as I pledge anew, afresh tonight to cooperate with you. Oh God, to obey and practice your instructions with precision, using your blood, using your word, your life, your power, the power of the Holy Spirit, to release them into my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, my physical body, into the air around me, so that we can impact this nation, Nigeria, as myrtle trees. We can impact this earth now by removing the veil that is covering the nations. Oh God, have mercy on me. Help me to live worthy of this vocation in Jesus' name. Nekatolo mashalabraka. Zifrika klamatorosa. Lingara kashaki tofres. Lokina makatufrenengas. Luprinike toskefres. When Pastor Larry was preaching, intensity, pray with intensity. Pray with intensity. Pray with precision. Pray with focus. Don't just pray with an absent mind. Nikatolo mashala prekachofres. Nungera kashufrenes. Luprinika tufrenengitalas. Laprekashaka. Lombra matulumutufre dufrishigaras. Tulumangara kumutulumustufre. Sofriga kumutulumashangito. Zefrenes. Nofrineas. Tufrining yes, Tulumasharas, Nikaras, Dofrini
Frenias, no Frenias, Gile Prodolos, Tufreningis, Talamaras, Chukurner, Zufreningas, Tufrenes, Lambradas, Tufrenes. You are speaking God's words. You are releasing God's thoughts. You are releasing God's power when you pray. You are not just making noise. Nikaramasafrenes, Nikrodolos, Nipranas Tufres, Dekara. Those words, that power has a focus. Lingara Kashtufrenes, Lingara Dolomos Safres, Luprines, Sofrenes, Nangaras, Jalaprikot Sufrene, Neras Tufrenes, Ningetuskafres, Lupridelas, Yakotufre, Nogoros Tufrenes, in the name of Jesus.